It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. My people on the highways, the byways, people going to work, leaving work, picking up their kids, dropping off their kids, hanging out with their wife or girlfriend or husband or side piece. Good for you, too. I'm here for everybody. I'll be hanging out for the next 2 hours. You two Uber drivers and Lyft drivers and Grubhub and pizza delivery and food and Amazon and Lyft and all of that stuff. The technology and the community and the economy is crazy. How can you listen to the show? Easy. I get started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can listen on the free Odyssey app. Yes, the app is free. You can tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate wherever you live. Sirius XM channel 158. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. And we've had a fun show so far. Thank you oh so much to Washington football legend Brian Mitchell came through to join us. Talked about Jaden Daniels and the new owner of Washington, Josh Harris. Great conversation. Hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We had him on last hour. Of course, we talked about Jaden Daniels. Talked about Trevor Lawrence and how bad the Jags look. We're going to talk about how bad the Bengals look. Matter of fact, James Rapien is going to join us in about 20 minutes. He covers the Bengals for Sports Illustrated. And the way the Bengals have started off the season at 0-3, yeah, that's the word, It's a sound. Onomatopoeia. Hey, Hickey, can you help me spell that?
O, and then I'm lost from there.
Okay. All right. Well, you attempted. I'll give you credit for that one. And I don't know how to spell it either. I know what it is. Anyway, knock yourselves out, folks. If you want to call me and talk to me as well, the phone number is as follows. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. I am at JR Sport Brief. Speaking of quarterback disasters, we had a fun little chuckle looking at the Oklahoma Sooners and also Auburn trying to figure out their respective quarterback situations as they face each other this upcoming weekend. Jerry Jones actually took some blame, kind of, sort of, for how ugly the Dallas Cowboys have looked this season. And then he proved how dysfunctional his brain is, how out of touch he is, by saying that the Dallas Cowboys are in the same pack as the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know what pack he's smoking, but that's what Jerry Jones said. And then, you know, this was real unfortunate news earlier today. You know, Brett Favre was sitting at, well, in front of Congress, answering questions about the welfare scheme and his participation in it. He has never been criminally charged. He still owes money back to Mississippi. He still claims innocence. I wasn't there. Everything is alleged. Otherwise, Brett Favre will sue you. But he revealed, you know, some of his own financial losses. He invested in a drug that was supposed to help with concussion symptoms. And that guy who he invested the money into ended up being a crook and a criminal. And Brett Favre still says to this day he didn't know some of the money that he received from this Mississippi welfare scandal. He did not know that it was money stolen from welfare recipients, pretty much by the people who were tasked with handing out and kind of divesting the funds to the community. Brett Favre still claims ignorance to the fact, but he did share this earlier today as to how he has been treated in his own financial state. Listen to this.
I had no way of knowing that there was anything wrong with how the state funded the project, especially since it was publicly approved by many state agencies and multiple attorneys, including the Attorney General. Sadly, I also lost an investment in a company that I believed was developing a breakthrough concussion drug I thought would help others. And I'm sure you'll understand why it's too late for me, because I've recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's. This is also a cause dear to my heart.
Now, Parkinson's sucks. It's terrible. There's no way around it. And any disease sucks. And the fact that to this day, We don't specifically know what causes Parkinson's or how you can, you know, get rid of it. That doesn't exist. It's not the case. And so it's absolutely terrible that Brett Favre has Parkinson's. I'd say probably the most famous individual that people are familiar with who has this is Michael J. Fox. But it is thought that brain trauma and issues, because this is a brain disorder, causes movement problems and other health issues, that you would think that playing football, and Brett Favre has said, you know, maybe in his life he maybe has had thousands of concussions. That's out of Brett Favre's mouth from years ago. That you would think playing the game, especially at the Ironman level that Brett Favre played, may certainly have led to Parkinson's. So in that regard, it's awful. It's terrible. You watch a guy and you sit down and you watch a sport. And we had this conversation just last hour with Brian Mitchell. Like you sign up to play the game. You know, there's going to be some consequences. And it depends on how you go out there and protect yourself. Well, Brett Favre played this game for a very long time. And Brett Favre played the game with reckless abandon. You want to talk about backyard football style? Brett Favre, he had to feel it. But what I will tell you this, and I can't say for certainty, you know, what Brett Favre did or what he did not do, because I was not there. What I will say is every person that Brett Favre spoke to, in a lot of cases, when it came to asking for money and funds for the volleyball stadium or accepting money or funds to perform services that he did not, you know, commercials, public speaking and what have you, the money that he has not returned. That just seems to be so much that everybody he dealt with from a political level was a criminal and robbing from the individuals in Mississippi. And he's the guy that he's the victim. I don't know. Maybe it's the case. I don't know. That's why everything is allegedly. It just sucks. He's in such a terrible spot in perspective. There are a lot of individuals who are online and they were saying, oh, yeah, well, you still stole the money, bro. Like, OK, you have Parkinson's. That sucks. But you still stole the money. I can't say that. I'm not going to say that. And I don't know. I know he has not been criminally charged. But I know when everybody around you is just, you know, kind of stealing and moving things around, and Brett Favre is sending texts, and I don't want people to know. Is the media going to find out? I'm doing okay. I get it. You want privacy. We got poor Dan Campbell. He had to move his family out of that house because one of his daughter's dumbass, evil classmates wanted to share the address online. Like, we got people who do some stupid things out here. So I can understand having privacy. But in the mix of everything involving Brett Favre, Hickey, why is he broke? Why hasn't he returned all the money now? Like, what are we doing here? What is he up to now? Half a mil in interest? 600 in interest? He can't return that?
That's a great question. I don't know why. And it makes it like... I'll be honest, I've tried to tune out a lot of what he says in general just because it's hard for me to take what he says at face value when this is hanging over it and should be resolved and has yet to be. Not that I'm calling him a liar with this Parkinson's. That's very sad. I think he's being serious here. But like other than that, like you said, why can't it be returned? I don't know. It makes too much sense. Why not? It does feel a little boy cried wolf.
Yeah. Brett Favre said he has donated through his foundation throughout the course of, I guess, his life and career, millions, you know, into the communities in Mississippi. Okay, fine. And so if you weren't involved in something and you were wronged and the people were wronged and you've willingly donated so much money in the past, and granted, Brett Favre ain't living off no damn NFL salary anymore. Okay, this man is not pocketing, you know, $800,000. $1 million every week for 16 weeks or 17 weeks. That's not what he's doing right now. I'm not in his wallet. But I would think he can have a plan to pay the money back. He's Brett Favre. Right? Or is he too much of a, you know, too much of a stain to get his hands on some money, to get his hands on some funds? I don't know. I haven't seen Copperfit. I haven't seen any of those commercials in a while. And he was sitting at this congressional hearing today. And it was, you know, people were saying, oh, well, now you're looking for sympathy, huh? Okay, you have Parkinson's. That sucks. Give the money back, bro. It was a terrible situation. And then he's just suing everybody. And the judges are telling him, you can't. I want to go back and sue Shannon Sharpe. You can't. It's done. Leave it alone. He threatened Pat McAfee. It's like the best thing Brett Favre can do is just threaten to sue everybody. But them lawyers cost money. Stop paying the lawyers and give the money back to the people of Mississippi. That's just my two cents. I'm not saying he did or did not do it. But, man, the evidence against him, it certainly looks kind of crazy when everybody he was dealing with is just a criminal. The guy he invested the money into was a thief. A couple of the government officials were moving the money around. Brett Favre knew nothing about this, just ignorant to the fact. I'm sorry. Now, I believe Shohei Ohtani with his interpreter. Shohei Ohtani, I don't think he was betting on baseball. He just got screwed by the interpreter. That's what I think. With Brett Favre, the evidence looks like everybody is dirty except for you. You weren't trying to move things. You didn't know where the money was coming from. All the politicians were out to get Brett Favre. Well, they were just, I don't know. Good luck to him and his health prognosis. You know, you don't want to wish ill on nobody. I don't do that. But this whole situation as it relates to the Mississippi welfare scandal, the biggest scandal in the state's history, that still hasn't cleared up. And everything surrounding Brett Favre, it just doesn't look good. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Man. Hickey, that's why I don't. It's just, that's the part about football that stinks. Like, it's organized violence. And you watch the guys. I remember just in my entire life, you see some of the legends of the game. And it just, their bodies just, they get eaten up. And not everybody ends up that way. But it's violent. It's one thing to be entertained and there's billions of dollars invested into it. But these are still human beings that are out there.
Absolutely. And the scarier part is that these injuries are seemingly only going to get worse. Because with the training, with the speed, the physicality, the force, these guys are now running into each other faster, and the bodies are stronger and bigger than they've ever been. So these collisions have been more violent than they've ever been, even with the NFL trying to take the head out of the game and, you know, lessen some of the actual physicality in terms of where you can hit someone and how you can hit them. They're doing so because these guys are moving faster and they're stronger than they've ever been. These are the most violent collisions we've really ever seen.
Yeah,
and there's no stopping it.
You don't think that means some of the players will last longer because they can absorb the blows, or maybe the equipment is better? I don't know.
I hope that's it. And again, where technology should help that, to where you're right, it kind of could be a double-edged sword. Maybe now you're built to withstand some of this violence and withstand some of these hits and not be as hurt as if, you know, you were in 1980. But also, because these guys are stronger, you're running to someone, you know, faster and harder, I think they're more catastrophic.
Wow. We see what has taken place with Tua Tagovailoa, and that's why we've had so many players and individuals come out and just say, hey, we need to kind of slow down on this. You know, Brett Favre, 2 years ago in an interview on the Bubba Army show, he said, every time my head hit the turf, there was ringing or stars going on, flash bulbs, but I was still able to play. That's what's kind of frightening about the concussion thing. It's the ones that seem minor that do the damage. And then we have heard from some doctors. Early research has established a likely link between these activities, sporting activities, football, what have you, and Parkinson's, as well as other neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, ALS, CTE. Multiple studies have found that a single concussion can raise a person's risk of being diagnosed with Parkinson's by more than 55%. NFL had no immediate response to Brett Favre's diagnosis and the link between football and degenerative neurological diseases. And I don't think the NFL will have a response. I don't want to say that this is the world's dirty little secret. The NFL has already had to pay out money and more money and more money, because it doesn't matter how we put lipstick on a pig, man. This is a violent sport. Look at what's going on with Tua. Look what's going on with Brett. We can go on down the list. We can go into Junior Seau. We can go on down the list. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, it's time to have a chat. It's time to have a conversation about a team that is going nowhere right now. We're going to talk about the Bengals. Joining us on the other side of the break is James Rapien from Sports Illustrated. He covers the Bengals. I'm going to ask him about this 0-3 start, the calm demeanor of Joe Burrow, who seems to be oh so smooth. The offense, the defense, Zach Taylor's comments. There's so much to get into. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. But speaking of health, I want you to listen up. A matter of fact, all you sports fans, listen up, because 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health, it's a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We wrapped up another week of the NFL season. Time flies, don't it? Didn't wrap up good for the Bengals. Didn't wrap up good for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Two teams that are currently standing at 0-3. But the Bengals are saying they're not worried. Joe Burrow is not worried. I guess all those 0-2 starts have maybe helped them feel a little bit different. But 0-3, different animal. Since 1990, 162 teams have started 0-3. Only 4 of them have made the playoffs. So talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, what they might do, what they can do, how they can improve. Joining us right now is James Rapien, covers the Bengals for Sports Illustrated. James, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for taking the time. Well, I mean, all things considered, here they are at 0-3. What are your thoughts on the Bengals and their prospects for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think 0-3 is not something anyone could have predicted for this Bengals team, especially given how Joe Burrow's played the past couple of weeks. I think after the week one loss to the Patriots, all eyes were on him. And now it's kind of flipped, and Joe Burrow's played well and had his best game of the season by far last night, and yet it still wasn't enough to outduel Jaden Daniels and beat a Commanders team that I think a lot of people had as a win early in the season when the schedule came out. So this Bengals team, their back is against the wall going into Carolina this week, and I think that there's as many questions about them as answers through 3 weeks of the season, and that's not typical for a team that a lot of people here in town thought would contend for a Super Bowl.
Well, James, you talk about Joe Burrow's performance and how well he's played. I mean, when you think about giving up 38 points, and the rookie looked damn good. He was selected number two for a reason, but 38 points. What can they do with that defense, if anything at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, in 24 hours removed from it, I think it's even worse now. Like, they could not get pressure on Jaden Daniels. He just had so much time and was so comfortable in the pocket. And that's why they converted 5 of 9 third downs, 3 of 3 fourth downs, and were moving the ball with ease up and down the field. And so they have to find a way to get pressure. That's the key. And I'm not sure what the answer is, because outside of Trey Hendrickson, there's no one on this defensive front that has consistently gotten pressure this season or even occasionally gotten pressure this season. So does defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo switch it up and try to blitz more? Well, that's not really their identity. And when you start to go against what you do, what's worked, what's gotten you to a Super Bowl, to a back-to-back AFC championship games, it starts to hurt you. So I think they have to find something in that defensive line room that can make opposing quarterbacks uncomfortable, because Jaden Daniels, heck, he could still be there moving the ball up and down the field if they were playing.
James Rapien is joining us, covers all things Bengals for Sports Illustrated. We heard a defensive back, Cam Taylor-Britt, have some words to say about the offense of Washington. Said he would eat his words after, but it still looked like a college offense. We know head coach Zach Taylor wasn't a fan. Are we just going to expect Cam just to talk the rest of the year, or is this just kind of a one-off? Has he learned to shut up?
I think Cam says what's on his mind. And like last week, he was asked about the Chiefs and, you know, made some comments as well. I just think that that's he's not even in his mind. I'm not even sure if he's talking trash. Like, I think he's like, well, yeah, that's a college offense. That's what they're running. Now, clearly they're running it to perfection. Right. But in his mind, he's like, yeah, that's what they're doing. So I'll say it. But to your point, it does create headlines. Obviously, Jaden Daniels and the commander saw it. I saw comments today. Zach Ertz said that they were well aware of it, and it gave them a little extra motivation. And that's why if you're Zach Taylor, you don't necessarily want that. In our business, JR, of course we want that. I love that Cam Taylor-Britt is willing to give an honest opinion on things. At the same time, I'm not sure the Bengals were too crazy about his comments last week with Kansas City or this week either.
No, not at all. Speaking of comments, it was a little curious that Joe Burrow, among his comments, despite how well he's played, he says he needs to evaluate himself as a leader. What does that mean? Is he going to change his demeanor inside the room? What do you think that means?
I think he's searching here, and that's what that means. I agree with you that it's interesting because Joe Burrow, the leader, I don't think anyone really questions it, how he leads, his style. He's one of those guys that leads by example, only speaks really when he needs to. It's not like he's the loudest guy in the locker room. But when he does, obviously everyone's listening. And has just kind of done that throughout his career. But he's never been 0-3 before in the NFL. He's never been 0-3 in his life until now, 24 hours ago. And so I think he was, in a moment at least, like, all right, well, what do I have to do to figure this out and get it right and become a winner again? And is it leading by leading this team differently? And I think he's still thinking about that. And who knows? Maybe he will. Ultimately, though, I think he is the leader in that room and doesn't necessarily need to be more vocal. But that is something you always hear, right, when teams are struggling. Oh, they need to be more vocal. They need to be more motivated. I'm not necessarily sure it's that, but Joe's certainly going to leave no stone unturned in his quest to get it right and figure it out.
Oh, James, one of Joe Burrow's weapons, T. Higgins, we saw him last night only hauling 3 catches for 39 yards. It certainly, I guess, you know, opened things up for Jamar. What are your thoughts on what we can expect from T. Higgins the rest of the year? He had to answer questions as to whether or not he was legitimately hurt, and he's dealt with hammy issues in the past.
Yeah, it's tough for T because I thought he had his best training camp and just looked awesome. Like, I thought he was going to have a huge year and still could, of course. We're only 3 weeks in. But he suffers that hamstring injury 3 days before the start of the regular season. And so, yeah, it's tough because you missed 2 games. You come back yesterday, close to a touchdown there. It's a little off target by Joe. Couldn't get that second foot down. And I just think they were a little out of rhythm with Joe and T. So you got to get back into that rhythm. And they don't really have time to figure it out. They just got to figure it out. And so I expect him to be productive. And it for me, and really for T, as long as he's healthy, I think he's going to produce. Yesterday it was more Andre Yosavash behind Jamar Chase, but I think T. Higgins will produce his fair share of big plays this season.
When you think about the rest of this offense, especially now with Trent Brown going down, Amarius Mims gets thrown out into the fire, what does that mean? Is that a massive concern for Joe Burrow and the offense and the line as they continue on, or is there confidence that they'll be able to continue putting up these points?
Yeah, I think that there's confidence. Amarius Mims is probably he has the highest ceiling of any offensive lineman in that room, put it that way. I don't want to say he's the best, but from a talent standpoint, he's right there. And so I'm not sure you're downgrading talent-wise. Now, you're downgrading experience-wise, and I think having a guy like Trent Brown with Amarius behind him, you just feel so much better about your depth. And now that depth is tested a bit. But Amarius had a great training camp before he suffered a pectoral injury and missed basically most of the preseason. He played in that first preseason game. But I didn't notice him much yesterday. The broadcast obviously highlighted the sack that he gave up shortly after entering the game. But after that, I thought he settled in, and I think expectations are pretty high for him that he can be the pass blocker that they need. So, no, I think the Bengals offense, they'll plan on operating like normal, throwing it all over the field with Joe Burrow like normal, even though Amarius Mims will make his first start on Sunday at Carolina.
Well, James, we know Andy Dalton had his little one-time show there. They're going to beat the Panthers, right? Come on, they have to beat the Panthers.
They better beat the Panthers. Ooh, they better beat the Panthers. You want to talk about there's no recovery from 0-4. I don't need to look at the stats. I don't need to go that route. 0-3 is one thing, and I think you can slowly dig your way out of that. But 0-4, you're not digging your way out of it. And, yeah, facing an old friend coming off of a 300-plus yard, three-touchdown game, at least he did that last week, right? So he has some film on him. But, they better get some pressure on him, because if they don't, he just showed. I mean, some of those throws he made the other day were elite throws. That Adam Thielen touchdown was an elite throw. So Andy Dalton can still sling it, no doubt.
Well, we know Adam Thielen is going to be out for a while. Are you telling me that there's a story that could be written where Andy Dalton throws some dirt onto this Bengal season? Is that the story that people are trying to write by the time Monday swings around?
It could. Oh, for sure. I mean, and if you're Andy, you're looking at that like, oh, this is my shot. You want to bench me on my birthday in 2019? You want to cut me for this number one pick? Who's like, you know, Joe's much different than Andy from a personality standpoint and has obviously become a huge NFL star. Yeah, this is quite an opportunity for Andy Dalton, there's no doubt.
Well, James, what is your thought process as it stands today on the rest of the Bengals season? Everybody is kind of, you know, like that meme where the dog is sitting in the house and it's on fire. He's like, everything is fine, everything is fine. Do you believe that these Bengals are fine? Do you think they're going to the postseason?
I think if any team is capable of digging out of an 0-3 hole, the Bengals can certainly do it. And what's reassuring about it is we're not talking about Joe Burrow's health here. Like 0-3 and Joe Burrow still playing poorly, like that's much different. But the past 2 weeks, like I said earlier, it's been better. It's been better. Yesterday I thought he was really good. And I think there's another level he can get to. So if he can get there, then could he will the Bengals to the playoffs? I think so. At the same time, you can't not force a team to punt and expect to win games, regardless of who's playing quarterback for you. So this defense does need to figure out some things. And so, yeah, I think that they're capable of making a run here. I think the AFC is really tough, though. And so you can't wait around. You're going to have to beat some teams that you aren't favored against. Baltimore week 5, I think, is a pretty much a must win, regardless of what happens this week. So, yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle, but I wouldn't count them completely out yet.
I know it's tough to hit the fast forward button, but if we look at this year, Joe Mixon is gone. Looks like he appreciated some of what he saw last night. We know that T. Higgins, we can get wide receivers from anywhere. We can just draft them out the blue and they can be good. But T. Higgins is going to be gone, coming off of this 21 mil franchise. Is there a concern that as they continue to move on, it's the Joe Burrow and Jamar show and trying to figure everything else out? That seems kind of like stasis.
No doubt. I think keeping this championship window open is challenging, and losing the Jesse Bateses and losing potentially a T. Higgins. Obviously, they lost DJ Reader. They've lost pieces throughout the years. It's tough, and they're trying, but you got to press the right buttons, and part of that's the draft. And so when I think about their core, a guy like Amarius Mims, you asked me about him earlier, by week 10, by week 12, you want to say, all right, well, he's a key piece of their core moving forward. He's going to start at right tackle for the next decade. Like, that's what you want to see. Because usually it doesn't take long when you get it right with some of these guys. And at the same time, you're right. Like, it is one of those things where you can find receivers at the same time. How many receivers are T. Higgins when he's healthy out there and making plays? Like, it's still hard to find the next T. Higgins. So they're going to have to draft really well, I think, over the next couple of years. But you could say always. But they were really built in 2020 and 2021. Those two drafts really helped them get to the Super Bowl and their championship core. We'll see if they can kind of do that and continue to build. Because if not, you're right, there's going to be a lot of faces walking out that door.
Well, James, as we start to wrap things up, I know Jamar Chase didn't get the contract that he thought he was going to get, or he said he was approached about. Are the Bengals, are they still cheap? They still got that reputation?
I think reputation-wise, there's no doubt that the reputation is there. And it's hard to argue it when they didn't get something done with Jamar Chase. And I think that's fair to say, because he's Jamar Chase, right? Like, it's Joe Burrow, it's Jamar Chase. Like, those are your two guys. And so you can kind of defend them. Oh, well, they didn't want to spend a lot of money on a safety, so you don't keep Jesse. Oh, they're not keeping T because they're going to keep Jamar. Well, they didn't get a deal done with Jamar. Now, what I think they would tell you is, well, it's because he has 2 years left on his deal. We'll get it done next offseason, like Justin Jefferson did, like CeeDee Lamb. And so if they do, then no harm, no foul. But, yeah, it is kind of uncomfortable right now because they weren't able to, or they didn't get a long-term deal done with Jamar Chase.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, the price just goes up. But not my money, none of my business. Hey, James, where can people follow you and all the amazing work that you do following the Bengals and all those other great Cincinnati teams for Sports Illustrated?
BengalsTalk.com. It's a one-stop shop for all things Bengals. And then you can catch me daily on the Locked On Bengals podcast and Cincinnati Bengals Talk on YouTube. I know you're a big fan of YouTube, JR.
Just a little bit. about 15 years worth, something like that. So, been around, James. Hey, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That James Rapien covers all things Bengals for Sports Illustrated. Go ahead and check him out. I guess if there is a team, like there's a lot of other 0-3 teams, you can go ahead and put them in the dirt. Let's be real. There's only two more of them. The Jacksonville Jaguars, done for the year. Tennessee Titans, done for the year. Have you seen their quarterback? Just giving the ball away like it's candy on Halloween. Everybody has some candy. And so, yeah, if there is a 0-3 Bengals team or an 0-3 team left that could bounce back, it would be the Bengals. I'm just not high on them. I'm not high on them to be one of the top teams in the AFC. But Joe Burrow seems so cool about all of it. And maybe he will, maybe this leadership change or evaluation will help him out. I doubt it, though. That's me. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I do want to talk to you about a team that is coming off of a championship, and they're trying to win another one. While ignoring the last one, I will explain.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to our guest. James Rapien just joined us and talked about the Bengals. Said if there was an 0-3 team that he would feel comfortable with, or if any team could start 0-3 and still make the postseason, it would be the Bengals. And I would agree, because the other 0-3 teams, they suck. Titans are cooked. 0-3. Will Levis is just average trash. Sorry. Not sorry. The Jags, we saw what the hell they did last night. They got smoked. How the hell you got a football game? 33-3 at halftime in the pros? Whoa. Cooked. At least the Bengals have some type of experience here, right? The Bengals have been to a Super Bowl. The Bengals know what an AFC championship game looks like. Joe Burrow is a winner. He doesn't know about this losing stuff. You have to lose the rest of this year, though. I don't see the turnaround. 855-212-4227. You know, speaking of winning and turning things around, it's crazy to think the NBA season is almost upon us. We got, of course, the NBA is going to sell the game internationally. We got an Abu Dhabi game. We got the Denver Nuggets and the Boston Celtics going to Abu Dhabi to play two games next weekend. Might as well promote the game everywhere with the two recent champions, right? Hickey, how many minutes are the starters going to play? They're going to play dudes we never heard of.
As they should.
Jokic is going to play 5 minutes each game. He's going to take a seat. Jaylen Brown is going to play 5 minutes until he takes a seat. And then we're going to have a bunch of also-rans that we've never seen just running around out there playing.
Do they have horse racing in Abu Dhabi?
Oh, come on. I bet they do. Why? You think? Uh-oh. Okay.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if you get 5 minutes from Jokic. I don't know.
You think he's just going to walk off the bench?
Right to the track.
What a guy. What a guy. That team around him is starting to... Oh, you got to remember, Russell Westbrook is on that team now, too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You got, who's that guy that makes all that money?
Jamal Murray?
No, well, not him. The other one, Porter.
Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah, the one whose brother was, what is he, stealing, tipping people off to try to win money gambling, right?
He's throwing his own numbers.
Uh-huh. How about that? How bad of an NBA player do you have to be to just say, hey, I suck, pull me out. I need to go to under on my numbers, even though, who does that? That guy's going to prison. He's getting locked up?
As he should.
He's getting locked up for that?
Oh. Got to send a message. You got to be strong. And no copycats.
He did it in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No bueno.
What do they say about criminals? Are they smart? Some of them, right? Some criminals are smart.
Some. Just use their smartness for bad.
We never learn about those ones. But the ones that end up in the paper, those are the stupid criminals.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where is El Chapo right now? Where is he?
That's a great question.
Is he alive? No, is he gone? What
is he under wraps? I mean, he's escaped a few times.
Is he locked up? They said El Chapo was a billionaire.
Wow.
Like how much do you have to be moving? Like a lot?
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, you got to be moving a lot. Oh, wow.
Holy cow.
They say he's still alive. Uh-huh.
Is he in jail or is he on the run?
On. He has to be. He has to be.
No, he's in jail, but hasn't he escaped like 3 or 4 times?
He was sent. He's in Supermax in Colorado, bro. He ain't going nowhere. Okay. Unless the aliens come and bail him out.
Not.
He is not getting. He's in a Supermax in Colorado. Probably in the middle of nowhere. 2019 found guilty of a number of criminal charges related to his, cartel leadership, sentenced to life imprisonment, incarcerated in ADX, Florence, Colorado, United States. Now, here's the weird part, Hickey. Somebody in that prison is listening to us right now.
Maybe they're cellmates or neighbors with El Chapo.
You think El Chapo is, he's like running a crime syndicate on the Bengals in a prison? Like, what is he doing?
Maybe. I mean, why not, right? Well, he's there for life. Well, what else is going to happen?
You got to find something to do, right?
By the way, you said Supermax?
Yes.
Not the Supermax you want.
What do you mean?
He's in a Supermax prison.
Oh, not Supermax as an NBA contract?
Yeah, exactly right. You only heard that term in one way as a positive up until now.
Man. You can think about El Chapo had more money than the guys making Supermax contracts. He had more money than multiple guys making Supermaxes.
Crazy.
Crime pays, I guess, right?
To a point, it pays.
Unless you got to pay for your life. Anyway, two guys on Supermax deals. One is making $305 million. The other one is making $301 million. We got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Pretty crazy. Wild. They spoke to the media today, and Jason Tatum told everyone that being benched at the Olympics, he said there's no added motivation in that. Listen to what he said.
Did I need any extra motivation coming into the season? No, I don't. I'm not going to give anybody in particular credit that, you know, they're motivating me to come into the season. It was a unique circumstance. I was coming off a championship, the highest of the highs, and cover at 2K, a new contract, and, you know, then that happened. And whatever the reason is, I haven't figured out yet, but I am a believer that everything does happen for a reason. But it was a good experience.
Oh, okay. All right, well, getting benched, motivation. It's pretty hilarious. The first question that Jaylen Brown was asked was about not making the team. He's like, damn, that's the first question y'all going to ask me? I don't even get a warm-up? Everybody kind of laughed, but of course. And then also this afternoon, this evening, we learned, and he said he was blackballed, kind of shut out by Nike and all this, and he upset that Grant Hill called him a conspiracy theorist. I don't think that's what Grant Hill said. But anyway, Hickey, he released his own shoes. Did you see that this afternoon?
I saw he was wearing them. I didn't realize that those were his. Interesting.
He's releasing his own shoes. Jason Tatum is. Jaylen Brown. The brand is called 741, his own signature shoe line. It's more than a sneaker brand. It's a statement about independence, creativity, and ownership. He wants it to be a brand that gives back and makes sure kids of all walks of life can have shoes they love without the crazy price tags. I don't see the price yet. Shaq did this a long time ago. Hickey, I see somebody wearing Shaqs like once every 3 years. Even in the 90s. No disrespect to Shaq.
Damn.
Well, Stephon Marbury did that too. Remember the Marburys?
For $20. Affordable.
Those Marbury shoes were $20?
Yeah, I thought that was the whole thing. That's why he made them.
Damn.
Affordable shoes.
Wow. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network. We'll be back on the other side. Don't move.